Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
WGN. Hope you had a great Wednesday. Mark Harmon with you until 1 o'clock, 11:07. Don't worry, White Sox fans. Tomorrow's the day. Tomorrow is the day. Tomorrow is the day. Can't go winless in the second half, can you? Let's go. Tomorrow is the day. All right, I got a busy show tonight. David Hochberg is going to be here after 11:30. We're going to make some money, so I'm looking forward to that. Matt Nagy seeing the seventh inning stretch at Wrigley Field today. He might have perhaps gotten one word wrong. We'll hit that in the 12 o'clock hour. But we're going to start with my guy, and that is my tie guy. My tie guy was in the bleachers, as you may know, at Wrigley Field on Tuesday night. It was a tie score. It was the bottom of the 10th. My tie guy had been there since, I don't know, the gates opened probably at 5 in the afternoon. The Cubs were down 3-0 early, then it was 3-3, then Kyle Schwarber came to the plate, and he launched one in the night. And my tie guy reached over into the basket and grabbed the baseball. And a lot of people in this city are mad at my tie guy. Not just this city, maybe even worldwide. People are upset with my tie guy because there were two kids there that he could have given the ball to. And I'm hearing all this, I'm like, come on. It's a walk-off home run. If the kid had the ball in his hand and grabbed it and he ripped it out of it, that'd be one thing. But he's just going for the baseball. Can't an adult go for a baseball at a game? It wasn't like it was batting practice, right? It was the walk-off home run. He's going for the ball. He's in the moment. He's living his dream. He's in the bleachers. But people are going at him. So I went over to Wrigley today. This is the day after. This was Tuesday night. Today was a day game. I went over to Wrigley. I went into the bleachers. And I started asking personnel, where is my tie guy? And they said, he's down there. So I walked down to the front row, left center. My tie guy was gone. He was getting himself a beef sandwich. But then I was sitting there hanging with his buddy. His buddy's like, just chill. And I'm like, do you think my tie guy will come on the radio? Yeah, if you're not going to crush him. I'm like, I don't want to crush my tie guy. I'm totally in favor of my tie guy. I think adults should be allowed to catch baseballs at baseball games. We don't always have to give the ball to a kid. Always. Especially a walk-off home run. And so then I met Chris, and he said he'd be willing to come on. And he joins us now on 720 WGN. Chris Sorley, a.k.a. my tie guy. Chris, thank you for taking time here. I support your right to actually catch a walk-off homer.
Mark, thanks very much for having me. Greatly appreciate it. Like I said, I really appreciate this opportunity to tell kind of my side of the story. So, yeah, I mean, it's been a whirlwind 24 hours. Not a lot of sleep last night, but still made the game today. You know, want to make sure that enjoy the fun and the sunshine just like everybody else. So had to get back and happy for the off day tomorrow, but I'll be right back at it on Friday.
How many games do you go to a year, my tie guy?
On average, you know, 40, okay. About half.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Work, family, all really depends on what's going on that year. But on average, yeah, about 40. Some years are better. I'd love to get to 81 one time, but that's high hopes for me.
Right. What kind of work you do?
Roofing, siding, gutters, installation, stuff like that. You know, handiwork.
Okay. So here, let's go on to the story. It's the 10th inning last night. There's one out, I believe, and Kyle Schwarber's at the plate. And you're sitting in left center, and the ball is launched towards you. Take it from there.
Well, yeah, like I said, 10th inning, I'm kind of a superstitious guy, so I like to get a quick hot dog when things are going on. And when I usually sit right in that front row where you saw the children were at.
Right.
So, I get up, I'm back and forth. I'm getting drinks. I'm obviously getting Mai Tais. I'm getting a hot dog. I go back and forth all game. So when I leave, the kids know that they can scoot up there. It doesn't matter if it's in play. It doesn't matter if it's between innings. They know to scoot up there, wave, scream at the players. Chad will come out, Franklin will come out, and they're back and forth. So I just happened to get a hot dog, and I see the kids in the front row, and I know it's the tenting. So I said, let them sit there. I'll just sit in the back because that's kind of where the kids were sitting behind me in the first place. And just like you said, Schwarber hits the ball. I mean, I'm out there. I'm in the batting practice. I got a decent line on the balls. I'm not a professional by any means, junior ball hawk of sorts, if you will. And I see we're making a play for it. And it's coming close. And I see it's right there, and it hits the basket wall. I kind of hop in between the kids, scoop my glove, and you saw the rest. I turned to the crowd, raised the ball, the crowd went nuts. Now we're singing.
So, okay, hold on a second. The kids, yeah. Are these your kids? Are they your friends' kids? Are they cousins? What do we got?
No. The gentleman that was sitting next to me on my right last night, and who was also there today, Robert, great guy, he's friends with Stephanie. Now, Stephanie had brought her two boys there, Carson and Xander.
Okay.
And, you know, they just decided to come out to the game. It's a beautiful night at the ballpark. Reds are in town. Cubs are doing well. So they decided to come out. And all game, I did try and send you a picture. Not sure if you got it, but we had a picture of all of them, all the boys with balls in their gloves, because they had all brought their gloves. They knew better going to the bleachers without their gloves.
That's good parenting. That's good. That's good supporting from an adult perspective on all levels here, Chris. And I did tweet out that picture with the kids with all the balls. Did you know when you were reaching for the ball that the kids were reaching for it at the same time?
You know, the kids had been all day. The usher there, he was telling the kids to, hey, you know, you guys can't have the gloves over the wall there. You know, they don't want the gloves over the wall there in case they fall down. Uh-huh. They don't want the kids going to have to reach out and grab them. But, you know, that's when they change the bleachers, you know, they change that floor. It's a little bit more raised now. So it is a little easier to get to. Definitely a little bit easier to get to. But that's if you're an adult. We're talking about 10 and 11-year-olds. These guys are short guys. I mean, you know, they're ready. They're prepared. They brought their gloves, and they all got baseballs. That was the best part about it. That's what we want to do. We want to make sure the kids get the baseballs. We're out there in batting practice. You'll see the guys in the well. Schwarber always finds the kid in the well. They're always trying to get the guys the balls. It's depth perception. You know, it's all how you see it. It's all being out there, you know. They change things around a little bit, so it's a little bit easier to get in the basket. But, again, we're talking about 11- and 12-year-old kids. I know there's some big kids out there. Some of the guys that are playing basketball I know are huge. But these kids were not those kids in particularly. Great guys. It was the first time I met Stephanie. She was super cool, and I've known Robert for a few years now. And like I said, they all came out to the game last night. I didn't really think that, you know, I didn't see where I hit somebody. I didn't see where I got in the way. Maybe I did. I'd have to take a better look at the video. I didn't look to me that I elbowed or hip-checked or, you know, that's the thing when the home run ball is coming. If you've ever been out there and a ball comes toward you, there's going to be a little contact. Now, I'm not saying to be violent out there. You're in a crowd of people, and you got a home run ball coming that everybody wants. You know, I've never caught a walk-off home run until Tuesday.
So it's your first ever walk-off. It was Schwarber's first ever walk-off. By the way, I interviewed Kyle Schwarber about this, and he doesn't want the ball back. He's very much supportive of my tie guy. Originally, he said, like, you know, I would probably give it to the kid, but then I explained to him, and I'll play this interview in a little bit here, Chris, that, you know, all the kids already had balls, and he basically says, well, that changes the story, and it does. The way I'm hearing it, you didn't think that if you didn't reach down and get the ball, the kids weren't going to get it, so no one was going to have it, and then here you go. It's a walk-off homer. It's the first time you've ever had one, and they already have balls, so you're keeping it.
You know, that's the thing. You know, if I don't get it, when the kids don't get it, somebody else is definitely going to get it. And then that guy's the villain. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It didn't matter who got it. If one of the children didn't get it, that guy was going to be the villain for moving, jumping, whatever kind of Superman move he's going to make into that basket. You know what I'm saying?
Sure.
He's going to be the bad guy then. So, you know, I'd rather have it that way anyways. You know what I'm saying? I'm a good guy. Yeah, if you look on the Twitter, if you look on the Facebook, all the good stuff, you'll see a lot of people defending me. I'm out there all the time. We're always helping the kids out. You know, they're throwing balls up there. I keep the homers.
Chris,
you know what I'm saying? If I flub a homer, well, if I get it, it lands near me. I'm looking for the first kid with a glove.
Well, Chris, just let me, you know, I was a 10, 11, 12-year-old kid, too, who went to baseball games. And nobody was giving me baseballs. You got to earn it, man. The way I see it, look, it's a dog-eat-dog world. If you're just handing out baseballs, then, you know, perhaps they won't learn the best lesson. And this is, you already got them the balls. It's the heat of the moment. It's a game-winning home run. I got no problem with what you did here, Chris, is the long way to is what I'm saying. I support your move to get the baseball as quick as you can and get out of my way. I'm going for, I don't want you to violently run somebody over, but that's not what you did. I didn't have any problem with how it went down.
Yeah, like I said, you know, we want to be mindful out there, and we all are. We all look out for each other, the new, the old. You know, I had to learn from somebody, too. You know what I'm saying? And people told me. When I was new, yeah, I was definitely a little aggressive because I didn't know any better. And I was a lot younger then, too. You know? I hate to say it's a good lesson for the kids, but, you know, sometimes you got to learn the hard way. I know I've had to learn the hard way. I've getting hit with balls. I never got it. When I was younger, this day and age, you know, that's just one of those things that happens. The kids, you know, the message I received from Robert via Stephanie said the kids had an epic time. They were super happy. Schwarber threw a ball. Noble was out there throwing them balls. I mean, you know, these kids were, I don't think, super disappointed. A little bit, yeah, absolutely. But, you know, we, like I said, you know, I'd rather change the culture out there and try to give the kids the balls. I get it, you know, every man for himself and all that. That's all fine and well for certain people. I don't try to play like that. You know, I want to have a ball. I walk off home, especially, you know, I don't want to make it sound like I said, I'm some villain or anything like that. People are going to have their own opinions. Totally get it. Totally get it. So, but like I said, if you go on the social media, people aren't defending me for no reason.
Well, so what's it like going from somebody who's just going to a baseball game to now all of a sudden you're like the talk of Twitter, the talk of social media for a day? It's got to be bizarre.
Absolutely bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. You know, family, friends, you know, high and low, people you haven't talked to for 3 years, old girlfriends and whatnot, if you will. I don't want to toot my own horn, but I didn't return that call too quick.
You're getting the old.
Yeah, no, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind. But, you know, like I said, it's the cost of doing business. You know, that's it. I mean, people are going to love you. People are going to hate you. That's in any walk of life, isn't it?
Yes. Did you, interesting. The old girlfriends are dialing it up, huh?
Well, we're not going to name any names quite yet. They knew who they are.
Okay. And so you're walking out of the stadium last night. You've got the baseball, and the kids are looking at it like, hey, Chris, can I see the ball? I mean, what was that conversation like?
I mean, you know, none of the kids were like, you know, I mean, that was the thing. It's you're caught up in that moment right there. You got the walk off. It's a home run. People are screaming. They're unfurling the W flags. We're singing. We're all singing. Now it's a sing along. It's like a old campfire, you know. Yeah, the children, you know, that's what I said originally. I got the ball. My buddy ran over like a cheetah to hug me. we're hugging it out, and immediately I'm thinking, I said, you know what? Kids, I'm totally sorry. I really apologize. Every one of them was cool. No one had, you know, not a tear shed that they didn't get that specific ball.
Right, right. How old were you when you first started going to Cubs games, Chris?
My first Cubs game was, I believe, I was about 7 years old. I'm 38, so probably about 1988.
Okay. And how many balls would you say you've caught in your life?
Balls have I caught in my life? Oh, geez. Less than 100. Less than 100. Nope. We'll say, how about 75?
What do you
know, batting practice, there ain't them out there. That wind's kicking.
Yeah, yeah.
You might get two or three in a row in the same batter.
Where do you keep these balls? What do you do with them?
Like I said, you know, if it's a home run ball, I will keep it. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. But if it's not, like I said, if it's falling at the throw up, I'm not going to jump for golfs. I'm not yelling at the players like the kids are. Hey, Chad. Hey, you know, whoever's out there, Franklin or Lester. You know, I'm not yelling at those guys. If anything, I'm whistling and pointing at the kids with the gloves that are down there trying to get them a ball. And those guys always take care of us out there. They're awesome out there. We try to get every single one of those kids a ball. And they help us out. It wouldn't be possible without them, without their generosity, looking out for those kids. So they look out for the kids. We like to help look out for the children as well.
And so just so I understand before you go here, Chris, is that a reserved seat now, or is it first come, first serve in the bleachers and you're getting out there at 11:30?
First come, first serve. If you beat me in line, you're more than welcome to the seat. I'll just sit on the other side of the aisle. In the playoffs, though, it is a reserved seat.
Okay. So what time do you get there for a night game?
That I cannot give you that information, unfortunately. That would be against the rules, and I'd be chastised by another group.
I get it. All right. Well, hey, how many jerseys do you have with Mai Tai Guy? I know I saw you in you had like the blue and you got the white. How many jerseys do you have?
7 total, one for every day of the week.
You have 7 Mai Tai Guy jerseys. That's amazing.
That's correct, sir.
Is that because you drink a lot of Mai Tais?
That is correct. I actually got that nickname, if you believe it, in the right field bleachers many moons ago. I've always loved the refreshing Mai Tais in the Wrigley Field bleachers. And when I was much younger, we'll say 20 or so years ago, I would imbibe quite frequently and harass the opposing players, kind of like I do today. And all of a sudden, well, I'm with a buddy of mine from grade school, and someone kind of calls out, "Hey, Mai Tai guy, tell the left fielder, bleep." So I told the left fielder, bleep. And he says, "Hey, yeah, good job, Mai Tai guy. Good job, Mai Tai guy." And you go back the next day, you go back the next week. People start remembering you. You shake a few hands. Maybe you get a phone number or two. Now you guys are at Murphy's having a beer. You guys go over to the G-Man. You have a beer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you catch up. You meet friends. I love people. You know, I encourage everyone to go out to the game. Get a ticket. Hey, Padres are in town. They got a heck of a team this year. You know, they're fighting for a playoff spot. Just gave that big contract to Machado. Going to be a great weekend. Going to be hot. Please dress light. White clothes. You know, get your sunscreen on. You know, get your visors and hats. Cover up. Protect the kids. Same thing. Get all the sunscreen, everything like that. Bring your gloves if you're coming to the bleachers.
What's
almost self-protection out there.
Yeah, I got you. What's the most Mai Tais you ever drank in one game?
When I was 21, I knocked out 16 Mai Tais in a 9-inning game.
16! How much did they cost at that point?
They weren't that bad back then. $6.75, I want to say, was the number.
Yeah, okay.
That was, you know, 1999-ish, somewhere around there. Well, no, a little bit later, maybe 2000.
And what's a Mai Tai now?
Mai Tai now, $11.
$11. A bargain.
Yes, sir. relatively, yes. Well, I mean, you know, the you know, you're drinking rum or beer. Well, it's going to take me 3 or 4 of those beers to get the same fling that one Mai Tai is going to get me. So might as well save a couple bucks if I'm going to go out there tomorrow.
There you go. How many Mai Tais had you had on, what was it, Tuesday night? How many then you'd put down?
I took it easy because I knew I was going to make most of those games the homestand, so I don't want to overdo it because, you know, especially when you're waking up tomorrow, today was a little rough, you know?
Yeah.
All the media and everything, you know, trying to respond to friends and family and let the other stuff fall where it may. Excuse me. So last night, I only had, what did I have? I had six.
Okay. There's nothing.
But you got to realize I was there, you know, as soon as the gates opened at 5 o'clock, and we didn't leave till what, about 11 or so? So
1 hour.
Mai Tais in 6 hours.
Yeah.
That's responsible.
Absolutely. Chris, you know that you could possibly be the next Ronnie Wu, right? That could be in your future.
No, I'm getting to learn that now. Yeah, 2019's a fun day and age that we're living in. So, hey, if that happens, great. Like, I'm not out there to make a buck. I'm not out there to hustle or scam or hurt anybody. I don't believe in that. I like to treat people the way I want to be treated. Unfortunately, some people think I treated somebody a certain way, and they want to treat me in a way that doesn't really, unfortunately, reflect how I try to treat people. You know, it's crazy how everything's been. It's been fun. If I become the next Ronnie Rue, that's great. That means I'll have the next generation of fans looking up to me like I looked up to Ronnie myself.
That's the quote right there. That's it. So maybe you could sing the seventh inning stretch one day. Look, man, all you did was you caught a home run ball. You're good. And if people are getting at you on Twitter, just remember the noise will die down very quickly. And I know.
Plenty of my friends have reassured me about that. Like I said, we're one big happy family out there. We're gonna have our fights and arguments sometimes. We're not always gonna agree on anything, but when it comes down to stuff like this, I know my true friends have my back. And I hope people hear this. And I invite people to come down. If you don't like me, let's not be violent. You know, you want to have a talk. Love to talk to you. Let's have a couple peanuts, catch a ball. Let's catch a ball and give it to another kid so you can really see what goes on out there, not just 15 seconds of a video that you get rigged over the Colts for.
Chris Sorley, Mai Tai guy, great to have you on 720 WGN. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, Mark. It was a pleasure. Thanks very much. Really appreciate your time.
Pleasure was mine. So there we go, our guy Chris Sorley. 312-981-7200 is the phone line here, text line. Who's on team Mai Tai guy? 312-981-7200. 720 WGN 1140. Team Hochberg in the house. David Hochberg.
What's up, Carm?
This is the first time we've ever gotten to do this, buddy.
I know. One-on-one.
I mean, we've crossed a lot of radio paths, but yeah. Just me and you hanging out, I'm kind of... I don't want to get too excited, but I'm kind of excited.
Well, yeah. You have a very weird definition of excited.
When I settle in, it's 11:40 at night. I don't want to be jumping up and down on the radio right now. People are winding down.
Yeah.
Let's have a little convo. Are we gonna make some money tonight?
Well, you can make some money. We could talk to people, all your listeners and all the people that are listening on how to save money. This segment is geared towards helping listeners overcome their financial, credit, mortgage, housing, financial challenges.
Okay.
And we're here to open up the phone lines to anybody that wants to call in at 312-591.
Nope,
that's the other radio station I'm on.
312.
So many different.
I got you. 312-981-7200.
Right. That's the one.
Yes,
and that's also the text line. And what we did was we set up a an email address, david@wgnradio.
Okay.
So listeners out there could email in their questions. We got a number of great questions this week. One of them revolved around student loan debt.
Okay.
And I'll just bring it up right now. And if people want to call in and ask more questions, what's the phone number again so I don't give out the other station's phone number?
That would be 312-981-7200. Phone lines are open and ready for Team Hochberg to, help you out. You want to get rich? Great. We can get a game plan there. Or we want to save some money? That's cool, too.
Yeah. So a lady had a question about co-signing. And both had to do with co-signing. One had to do with co-signing for her niece's mortgage. Her niece was going through a horrible divorce. Husband didn't make the mortgage payment for 6 months. Her niece was on the mortgage with the husband. Long story short, home was in foreclosure. There's kids. It's a big mess. Niece came to her aunt and said, "Hey, Aunt Sally, I'd love to for you to co-sign for me so I could buy a home to house myself and my two kids while I'm going through this divorce."
Okay.
And Sally was concerned because she's in her late 60s, married to an 85-year-old guy. Nice move by the guy, by the way. Okay, marrying a much younger lady. God bless the guy.
Way to go, 85.
Way to go, 85. Okay. Yeah. So Sally's like, "What do I do? I'm kind of nervous. My husband's 85. I'm not a spring chicken. You know, we're trying to wind things down, but my niece needs help. You know, should I co-sign for her?" I said, "Listen, I can't make that decision if you co-sign for her, but here's the challenge you're going to have. You can't co-sign for your niece until her name is taken off the title of the house that she's currently owns that's going through a foreclosure." Okay? Because what people don't understand, and what 99.9% of your listeners don't understand, because I didn't understand it until I got into the mortgage business, is that the clock doesn't start on when somebody who goes through a foreclosure can begin to look to buy a home until their name is taken off the deed of the home that they currently owe.
Okay.
And that could take a year, that could take a month, that could take 3-4 years. So Sally's niece basically wants Sally and her 85-year-old husband to buy the house for her niece and her kids to live in, and then sometime down in the far, far future, buy the house back or refinance their name on. And I explained that to Sally this morning as I was driving home from the gym. I said, here, your niece is trying to get you to buy the house, not co-sign. So you have to be careful when you're dealing with a foreclosure, because the time starts, the clock starts ticking for the person to qualify for a new home that's gone through the foreclosure when their name was taken off the home that is currently in foreclosure.
So that call is to the title company, correct?
Exactly. That call is to the title company. That call is to me to do a track search. It's called a track search with the title company to find out exactly when Mr. and Mrs. Smith, who went through foreclosure for whatever the reasons were, doesn't matter, when their name was taken off, when Mr. and Mrs. Smith's name was taken off and the property was transferred to ABZ, ABC, XYZ, mortgage company, or another buyer of that property. So you got to find out when that time is. If it's today, July 17th, 2019, great. Clock starts today.
David Hochberg, Team Hochberg. We got phone numbers. Do we need to get out here?
855-56-DAVID.
Okay.
That's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They could go to 56david.com. That's our website if you have any questions. You know, they could call us tonight, 312-981-7200, or text us as well.
So, okay, a question here.
Yeah.
Now, if you're, let's say you're okay, you're on a title of you and your brother bought a house.
Yes,
it was an investment property.
Okay,
you're both on the title.
Yes.
Now you want to buy the brother out, or the brother wants to kick you out and get you off the title. Is that a hard process to do?
Not a hard process at all.
Okay.
And all you have to do is either do a quit claim deed and get your brother off.
Okay.
Right, and then your brother's off the title. Okay, that's nothing more than filling out a piece of paper. Some people like to have an attorney do it to make sure all the T's are crossed and I's are dotted. You got to go to the courthouse and get it recorded. Boom, name's off the deed. Okay, it takes about 3 to 4 months now to get the paperwork from the county level, because all the county level workers have been laid off and cut back, and they're doing bare bones. So it takes a while for that paperwork to come back from the county, but it's that easy. Here, I'll give you another story. You and I are same-sex marriage, right? And we're married.
Sweet.
Right? Can't love it, okay? We break up, okay? The divorce decree says that Carmen owes David half of the equity of the house.
Okay.
You just do a refinance to pull the equity of the house. You owe $100,000. Property's worth $3. There's $200,000 worth of equity there. You keep $100,000. I keep $100,000. Carmen's going to keep the house. David's moving on. Carmen takes out a loan for $200,000. 100 G's comes to me. Carmen keeps the house. My name gets taken off of the title when the loan closed. Move on. Everybody goes their separate way. Everybody's happy. I got 100 G's. I could do whatever I want with it. Go buy another house. Invest in another property.
But now you got a bigger loan on the property, correct?
You have a bigger loan on the property because you kept the property, because that's the decision you made,
right, okay,
to keep the property.
Fair enough.
You could sell the property. Both parties could agree to sell the property.
Right.
You take your 200 G's. I take my 200 G's, less closing costs and all that stuff.
Right.
And away we go, and we both pocket it. You decide that you want to live there. You continue to live there. And you get all future appreciation as well. I'm done with the appreciation when I get my dough.
Right, right, right.
That's it.
Do you believe in, you know, people who are looking for value and investing in real estate, do you believe in buying foreclosed properties?
I believe in buying foreclosed properties if you get to see what you're buying. Okay. A lot of people think, oh, I'm going to get a deal on foreclosed properties. Okay, great. But most of the time, it's sight unseen, right? You can't kick the tires. You can't get in there and see what the heck you're buying. That's the challenge with foreclosed properties. Because when a house goes into foreclosure, most people are doing what? Right? They're not taking care of the house.
No, they're punting and they're out and they're right.
Right.
There's
a lot of challenges with most of the time. There's a lot of challenges with foreclosed properties due to upkeep and the people not having the resources to put back in the house.
All right, we'll get some phone calls coming on back here. I want to ask you about my tie guy, and specifically, like, what you are looking for if you're a real estate investor,
yeah,
who's trying to find value nowadays. What should you have your eyes out
sure
for? We'll do that coming on back here. Team Hochberg is here. 855-56-DAVID
and 56DAVID.com.
.com. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Team Hochberg is here. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
All right, let's get to some phone calls here. We were talking right before I get to the calls here. I just want to finish up that what we were saying. What are you looking for if you're sitting there right now? You got a couple dollars on the side, and you're thinking the market's run up way high.
Uh-huh.
And you don't want to put your dollars there. And, well, maybe I'll put it into real estate, but you know, real estate's come down a little bit, but it's pretty steady right now. What are you looking for?
Here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for if I could afford the property that I want to buy. Okay, that's number one.
Okay.
And that's number two, number three, number four, number five. Okay, I'm also looking to see that, am I buying this property as an investment, or am I buying this property as my forever home? Okay, because it's a huge difference.
Sure.
Okay, so some people are building homes that they're never going to get the money out, but they're building a home because they know that that's the home. They're putting pools in. They're putting, you know, three-car. You know, they're just doing it right because this is their home.
Right.
It's just like people come to me and call me all the time. Hey, I'm thinking about doing a quote-unquote man cave. Hey, I'm thinking about putting 70 grand into my kitchen. What do you think? I go, what do I think? I think you should. Here's what I think. I think you should contact, and this is, and I tell this to everybody, a real estate professional in your area, preferably the realtor that you use to buy the home. If you need a realtor, I'm friends with a number of different realtors that could give you an assessment, and they will tell you, hey, if you put 30 grand into a basement, you're probably going to get it out. If you put 60 grand into the basement, you're going to have a great time in your basement, but you're not going to get 60 out.
Right.
You're going to get 30 out, but you're going to have a blast in your basement.
Right.
Watching Hawks games, Bulls games, Cubs games, Sox games. You're going to have a great time in your man cave down there. Okay, same thing with the kitchen. Hey, I'm thinking about putting 70, 80 grand in the kitchen. That's great. Realtor will tell you. Kitchens in your area, you're only going to get 40 to 50 out. You put the Viking or the Wolf, that's great. You want heavy duty industrial ovens to boil water to make soup. God bless you. That's your call. But you're only going to get 30 or 40 G's out. You want to put 80 into your kitchen? Go blow your money in the kitchen. That's fine. But you know what? That's your call.
Right. So do what you can afford. But that's interesting, though, because, hey, you make the top-notch, greatest kitchen, that'll earn you another 40 grand. That's important to know that stuff.
It doesn't mean you're going to get it back dollar for dollar.
Of course not. But, like, ballpark, like, hey, if I'm going to upgrade my kitchen, what can I expect back dollar-wise?
That's a realtor question.
Yeah.
That's a realtor question.
I think those are important questions. All right, here, 312-981-7200. Carol wants to talk about short sales with Team Hochberg, David Hochberg on 720 WGN. Go ahead, Carol.
Hi, I was approved for a short sale.
Okay.
And after, I believe it was 90 days, they said I had to go through the pre-approval process again. You know, I told the realtor, but you have all my information. You know, nothing's really changed. And, like, it doesn't matter. You have to do it again because the short sale is ongoing, and also the property is in a trust.
Okay.
Now, being in the trust, I know you mentioned something about a tracking something. Does that mean it could even take longer than what we're doing right now?
No. Here's the thing with the short sale. You have to prove economic hardship to the lender who has your loan. Okay? So you and the reason they want to look at it 90 days is because they want to make sure you're still having the economic hardship, that you're not making the mortgage payment, that it's legitimate economic hardship. So when they go to do an evaluation on your home, they're not only evaluating the home, they're also evaluating you, the owner of the home, to make sure that you are actually having that hardship. Because a lot of people were playing games back in the day and trying to do short sale when they had a couple $100,000 in the bank that they could have tapped that 100 grand, brought it in to sell their home and tapped the 100 grand for the 20 or 30 or 40 grand that they were short. So the lenders are doing their due diligence, and they're just making sure, Carol, that you are actually over your skis and need help bailing out on that home. That's all this is. It's got nothing to do.
I'm actually buying a home.
Oh, you're actually buying a home. Okay,
right.
It said here short sale is in a short sale. I thought that you were short selling a home. So you are buying a short sale home?
Correct.
Okay, I misunderstood. So you have to be approved to buy a short sale home, right? It, like any other home, it shouldn't take 90 days. But you have to make sure that the short sale has approved the sale from the owner of the home that you want to buy. And we got to take a break here, I'm being told.
Yeah, Carol, thank you very much for the phone call. And more calls with David coming up after midnight here. And we got some text rolling in as well, 312-981-7200. Team Hochberg is here as we are trying to make you some dough on 720 WGN. Happy start to your late night Wednesday, or for you Thursday people. We have hit it. What's up, Team Hochberg? How are you?
I'm rocking. Another day in paradise, baby.
So you got a student loan question over
there? Yeah, I had Diane, a listener listening right now. I talked to her on the way here. She had a question about student loan debt.
Okay.
She wants to sign. She has two kids. She's 48. She has a daughter in college who needs a student loan in order to get through college. And she has a son who wants to be an actor, wants to go to acting college. So fine. She wanted to know if she signed for her kids' college student loans, if it would negatively impact their ability, her and her husband, ability to buy another house.
Okay.
Because they plan on selling their home, downsizing kids out of school, buying another house, move out of Illinois, saving taxes, all that stuff.
Pardon me for not knowing this. Is that the normal procedure when a kid gets a student loan? Their parents do that?
Some parents take out parent student loans. Some kids take out student loans on themselves.
Okay.
Okay. So this her daughter was maxed out on the loans that she'd qualify for, needed them, the parents, to co-sign. So here's the rule with co-signing for a student loan. Rule number one is the if you co-sign for a student loan, it's fine. But the student that you're co-signing for has to make the payments for a minimum of 12 months for it not to count on the parent that co-signs for it. So if Diane and her husband co-sign for Mark, their son.
Okay,
Mark Carmen is their son, and they take out a loan with Mark, and they co-sign for it.
Thank you.
Mark would have to make the student loan payment for 12 months out of an account with only his name on it for it not to count against mom and dad when they go to buy another house.
Okay.
Same thing with the student loan goes for a car loan. Mom and dad could co-sign for a car loan for a family member. But the family member has to pay for the car loan out of an account with only their name on it for at least 12 months for it not to be counted against the parents or the co-signers when they go to qualify for a home.
That doesn't sound like it should be a hard thing, even if
you need the 12 months.
Right, but if the kid doesn't have the money, the parents write him a check, put it in his account, and then he pays his bill, right?
Well, you know, because you have to show 12 months worth of bank statements. And if you show mom and dad, you're putting in $112 or $320, whatever it is, that's not going to count.
That's not going to count?
It's not coming out of the kid's account. The kid's not generating the funds.
What happens if it's cash?
Well, you got to be careful in how you do all that stuff.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm just giving you the rules. Look at you trying to get
dancing
in the cracks, which I respect. But you've got to set it up properly, or else you're going to blow yourself up. You got a text question?
No, I mean, yeah, that just seems like a hard one to actually enforce. But I got it. All right, yes, I do have a text question for you. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Text line, phone line, if you want to jump on in here with David Hochberg. Team Hochberg, 855-56-DAVID and 56David.com. From the 773, what happens if you quit claim your name off the deed, but your name is on the mortgage still since your spouse couldn't refi? Now what do you do?
Okay, so that's probably geared towards a divorce situation.
Okay.
And we get a lot of these questions. So here's the deal. Again, husband, wife get married. Okay, husband, divorce decree, the same thing. The divorce decree says Carm keeps the house, David's off. You can't refinance because the house is upside down. Your credit stinks, whatever, at this time. You don't make enough money. Fine. You could, as long as the divorce decree states that Mark Carmen is responsible for the mortgage payment of 123 Happy Meal Lane, then David Hochberg can go off and buy another house. It all has to do with the writing. And I will tell you this, right? And you got to be careful. Taking your name off the deed, if you don't get the what's owed to you on the financial side, because there's usually a financial obligation tied to it, you know, just be careful that, you know, if you take your name off the deed of a house, it's off the house. But it all has to do with what's in the divorce decree and the language in the divorce decree. Listen, I could stay on the title of the house. It's no big deal. Okay, as long as it says that Mark is responsible for taxes, insurance, upkeep, and the mortgage payment of the house, I am free of that payment and could go buy another house, because that legal document is the divorce decree, which governs what the payment is. Okay. Even though I'm still on the title or I get quit claimed off, my name is still tied to that mortgage in the event that you, in this example, cannot refinance that property.
312-981-7200 is the phone number if you want to jump on in here with Team Hochberg. For people, like just that answer, if your head's spinning, who do you go to who can actually, outside of David Hopper himself, like, who are you recommending? Like, if just for, I got a title question. Who are you calling up?
Call me. I've got two title companies that we work with. We work with Fidelity and First American, and we send, you know, and we split it up equally among those two companies because they're great, and we like to have two options for our clients. And I go to our reps to get the answer if it's a wonky answer. I also have great staff that I go to and say, hey, here's a question we have. Can you answer it? If yes or no, great. If not, we kick it upstairs to the title company or whoever that we have to get the answer.
Fair enough. Okay. 630 texting, my wife is not on the mortgage. If I pass away, can she continue to pay the mortgage off to maturity?
Yes.
She can.
Yes. Nobody's going to know that you died. All the bank wants is their check every month. Okay. As long as the bank is getting the check every month, you're fine. Okay. Most likely, if he got married after his name was on the title, right? If he got married, how should I say this? If he got married after he already had the mortgage, then what he should do now while he's alive is quit claim his wife onto the title to have ownership, because you're going to have nothing but problems if you die with that. Okay, but as long as the wife continues to make the mortgage payment, you're going to be fine, right? As long as this guy's alive, if the wife's not on the title, go quit claim the wife on the title so she's on the title. If he gets knocked off, the wife just continues to make the mortgage payment, writes the check, and the wife and the family are fine.
Okay, fair enough. Bottom line, bank wants their dough.
The bank wants their dough. Exactly. Right. You keep writing the check, you're fine.
Right. Storefront property, business downstairs, resident upstairs. Is that a good thing?
It depends what type of property is downstairs. I mean, you know, yes. Yes. It depends on the property, right? I mean, if you've got a legal business that's a safe business that's generating revenue, yeah, no problem, right? If you've got a storefront selling, you know, selling wickets and you're doing and you've got a legal massage parlor in the back and you're selling drugs in the back, no, it's not a good thing. So it all depends. If it's a viable business up front, the you can get money out of it.
Always have to give the ball to a kid. Always. Mm-hmm. Especially a walk-off.
Well, they...
I don't know where that's coming from.
It's the ghost of
the ghost of
Mr. Mai Tai guy.
The ghost of Mai Tai guy. All right, so quick timeout. We'll come on back here. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. 312-981-7200. 720 WGN. 720 WGN. David Hochberg is here. Team Hochberg.
What's up, buddy?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. All right.
Here's the bottom line that people need to realize, okay, that everybody listening needs to realize. Okay, it all comes down to what the monthly payment is. All right, and you asked me a question earlier if buying a home off the air. You asked me if buying a home was a good idea instead of renting, right? And I said, and I thought about it. And here's the bottom line: everybody's like, "Well, I want to continue to rent because of this. I want to continue to rent because of that." And it's cheaper to rent than own. When you start running the numbers, have you seen what the rents are in downtown Chicago lately?
Huge.
$3,000 to $5,000 to rent a 1 to 2 bedroom condo.
Now, why is that?
Why is that? Look at all the building that they're doing downtown. Look at all the businesses that are coming downtown. People want to have experience. You know, want to have experiences now. Okay, when I graduated college in 1988, The big thing was save enough money, buy a home. Okay, that's what we did in the 80s. Okay, I don't want to sound like one of those, I walked to school 4 miles in the snow. But back in the 80s, when I graduated college, I worked my tail off to save my 10% down, my 15% down, to go buy a home. I wanted to move out of my parents' place. I bought a place, 2800 North Lakeshore Drive, right? I put 10% down. I put 20 grand into it. I got another appraised value. Value went up because I put money into it. I dropped the PMI, and I was good. Okay? But nowadays, the younger generation wants to have experiences. They want to live 1 year in Boys Town. They want to live 1 year in Lincoln Park. They want to live 1 year in Wicker Park. They want to live 1 year in the Gold Coast. They want to live 1 year in Bronzeville. They want to live 1 year in Wicker Park. They want to experience different parts of the city. Buying a home is really not important to the younger demographic right now, and data proves that.
Is it also, though, look, taxes in Chicago are flying up, right?
Yes.
The prices right now are, I would say, fairly high, right?
Fairly high, but in some areas they're stabilizing because the taxes are high. And what people don't realize is, if you're renting, it cracks me up when my nieces and nephews come to me like, I'm not gonna buy a home. The real estate taxes are crazy. I go, well, let me ask you a question there, you know, Mr. and Mrs. College educated, you know, individuals.
I would love to be at the family Hochberg dinner.
My uncle, my brother and sister-in-law have got about $250,000 in each one of these kids, okay, to get a college education. They could spell cat if you gave them the C and the T and $250 to buy a vowel. All right, I go here. Let me ask you a question. I go.
How much are you paying in rent for a year?
No. It's not only that. I go. Do you really think that real estate taxes have no impact on your rent? They're like, I'm renting. It's got no impact on me. I go, really?
Of course it does.
I go, who owns the place? Who owns the building that you're renting from? Oh, some guy or some girl or some corporation, some group. I go, so you think that when their real estate taxes go up? Right, if you're renting in a 3-unit building and the real estate taxes on that property goes up $3,000 a year, $1,000 for each unit, that your landlord's not going to come back to you the following year for an extra $83 increase a month in rent. 83 times 12 is $1,000. Do you really think that your landlord, Mr. and Mrs. Big Shot real estate owner, is going to absorb that $1,000 a hit on each of the units, that 3 G's a year? Well, no. Why would he? Well, why would he pass it on? I'm like, this $250,000 college education? I go, it's Econ 101.
So
they don't understand basic math.
This is a very basic David Hocker principle. Buying is better than renting.
Well, no, buy if it makes sense. If you're ready to buy, you buy.
Right.
But don't be naive and don't think that real estate taxes doesn't have any impact
right.
of somebody that rents.
Right.
Okay? And I have the same thing with income tax and everything else, and they're blinded by the light.
Well,
That's another story.
What do you think is the end game where these huge monolith corporations are coming in and they're buying out enormous buildings in the city?
Stabilize the market.
And they're making everything, but they're making these huge buildings, all rentals.
Right. And when the time comes, and there's support for them to turn those buildings back into condos, they will flip the rentals into condos. Okay, that's what happened. That's what happened. But when I first got in the business in August 2000 until 2007, 2008, when everything stopped, they were taking apartment buildings and converting them into condos.
Interesting.
Okay, and people were buying condos that they used to rent, and they used to be able to buy them for $150 to $125, $130, $150 to $200, whatever the price was. They converted apartments into condos. Same thing's going to happen when there's enough buyers. Okay, don't think that these luxurious rentals are going to be rentals forever. Okay? So when they could sell out each one of those units and get hundreds of thousands of dollars instead of $5,000 a month, and they could sell it for $150,000 to $200,000 to $300,000 to $400,000, they're going to flip that building. And all the owners are going to, and all the renters are going to get notice, effective on such and such a date, We're no longer going to be rental. You have first opportunity to buy your unit. If you want to buy it, go down to the sales office downstairs on the first, second, third floor and talk to them about financing options to buy it.
So you're saying they're doing rentals now because it's more profitable to be.
Absolutely.
So it's just okay.
And when the time
and
comes,
the prices rise back up,
they'll flip them into condos again. That's what's happening. That's what's happening.
I got it.
And the market, if the market's there to support it, the market's there to support it.
Because, I mean, all over the city, there's huge buildings going up.
There's cranes all over the place.
Right. And the other side of it is older buildings that were once condos are now turning into rentals.
Right.
That happened to my brother.
Are now deconverting.
Deconverting.
Back to rentals.
Right.
And I'll tell you what also is happening.
Okay.
Here's what also is happening. You've got big money coming into the city. From the coasts, the Googles and all the other places. Real estate Chicago is cheap compared to New York and compared to California.
That's true.
You have people coming in. You have investors coming in taking 6-unit buildings.
Yep.
3 units on each floor of a building, buying out the entire condo building.
Right.
And turning it into single family left side, single family right side. So they are taking 6 units and turning it into 2 single-family houses, attached houses in the city. That's what's going on, too, because you think that that's super expensive, but somebody from California coming in that's spending $1.2 million on a 700-square-foot, one-bedroom condo in California can come here to Chicago because they got transferred to Chicago. Real estate's cheap. They could buy a home for another $1 million and do that. And there's developers looking at condos. Believe it or not, there's people driving in their cars right now, third shifters going home, going, you know, I'm renting for $700. I'm living in a $125,000 home. How could that happen? It's a very expensive proposition here, and there's some big money in the city, and it's happening. It's crazy numbers, big numbers, lots of zeros.
Should we be happy about this or not?
It's the market. I mean, you don't. Who cares if you're happy about it? If there's somebody there,
I want to be happy.
Well, I know everybody wants to be happy, but if you've got 6 unit owners that could sell out a building and get their price and move someplace else, and somebody come in and just deconstruct that whole building and build it back up, it's good for the area. You got people working. Right? You've got tradesmen and women working. You got people driving trucks, dropping off materials.
That's all true.
You've got designers, and you've got a lot of stuff's going in to make those 6 units into 2 single-family houses. Why is that bad?
Because prices are going to go up.
Well, prices are going to go up regardless if you want them to go up or not. You think I like paying $3.40 a gallon of gas out in Northbrook right now? No. But you know what? If I want to drive a car, I'm going to pay you $3.40.
You are. You absolutely.
And it is. Listen, I don't have to be happy about a lot of things, right? I just got to be able to afford to pay it. And that's the challenge that our listeners have right now. They can't afford to pay it. You want to take this quick call? Or we got time or not?
Yeah, we got time to take it.
All right.
Let's see. All right. Let's get Jason up here, and we'll get him on the air.
Yeah, we'll knock him out real quick. I know you got a break at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah. Jason, you're the last call for Team Hopper. What's up, Jason?
Oh, hi, guys. I just had a quick question for Mr. Hochberg. I am a U.S. Army veteran and looking to buy a house, but I was told we needed to have like a 620 credit score or higher, and also is it recommended or required to put something toward the down payment,
well,
even though there's no down payment?
Well, the VA allows for 100% financing. If you go below a certain credit score, it does require a 10% buy-in in order to get that VA loan. So what I would start looking at, Jason, is let's try to get that, see what's causing you to have lower credit scores, try to enhance that credit so you qualify for 100% financing. How's that?
That works. I'm definitely going to check into it, even though I'm service-connected and just trying to make sure.
Well, hold on. Service-connected disability, you were injured fighting for our country. You don't have to pay the funding fee, which is huge. Are you greater than 70% service-connected?
No, not now, but I'm working on it.
Okay, because if you live in Illinois and you're greater than 70%, you don't pay real estate taxes. So do me a favor. You got a pen?
Yep.
All right, give me a call, and we'll get you squared away, try to enhance that credit so you're in the best position possible. It's 855-56-DAVID. Just call now and leave a message, Jason. We'll get with you later today because we're already in today.
Right, definitely.
All right,
okay,
bud.
Appreciate it.
No, appreciate your service to our country, my friend.
All right. Thank
there you.
Bye-bye.
Thank best you, Jason. Loan in the world, VA loans. Best loan. Best loan in the world.
Team Hochberg?
Yeah.
It's great to see you, buddy.
Well, good seeing you, bud. And I still disagree with Mr. Mai Tai Boy. I'd still whack him in the head if he stole the ball from
my kid. See, if there was a video of all the David Hochbergs at every White Sox Cubs game, I guarantee you've snatched a ball and there was a kid around you.
Absolutely not.
Never happened once.
If my kid was down there in the well, about ready to pick up, if it was my kid, and Mr. Mai Tai guy comes in and snags a ball, I'm going to have a beef with him, and I'm going to tell him, give my kid the ball, and then I'm going to throw him down.
How old are your kids?
My kids are 16, 14, and 11, and they're girls. So not only are you taking it from my kid, you're taking it from my girls, which is even worse. I just got a problem. I'm just telling you.
Which of the three girls would have the best shot at getting
it? Oh, my middle one would rip his throat out. My other two would look at me, but my middle one would go right after him. Without question, she would destroy him. Without even batting an eye. She'd go, hey, Mr. Mai Tai guy, it's my ball. Give me my ball. And she would just start pounding on him.
See, that's
my Lindsay.
That's good parenting. Yeah. Way to go, Lindsay. All right, we'll see you next time, David.
Thanks, buddy.
All right, quick timeout. Ken Smith will have your news in 2 minutes, 720 WGN. WGN, 1237 with you till 1 o'clock tonight. Nick DiGilio will be along at that point. I will be back with Bill Left tomorrow. I get to sit in with Bill. I don't think I've ever sat in with Bill tomorrow, so I'll be there 10 until noon, of course, after the Steve Cochran show. So looking forward to that. All right. There was an epic moment in the city earlier today, and it happened at Wrigley Field. Didn't have anything to do with the Cubs. Well, I guess it did, but this was more about the Bears and their head coach, Matt Nagy, who was there to sing the seventh inning stretch. And I don't know if you've seen this or heard this, but Matt Nagy made a little bit of a mistake. Here we go.
Bears head coach, Matt Nagy.
Cubs fans, everybody, all the Cubs fans, y'all ready?
Listen closely. Yep, I am, Matt.
Gary, you ready?
Gary Pressey's ready.
And a one, a two, a three. Take me out to the ball game. Take me out with the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Can we stop it, please? Did you hear that, Ken Smith?
He pulled a John Kelly.
He did, right? Did he say what I thought he just said?
I think he did.
Well, let's highlight that one down just a little bit here. Can I get that again, Ro, the good part?
Buy me some peanuts and crackers.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's loud.
That's not even close.
I mean, that's right down the middle, is it not?
Oh, somebody is paying off a bet today.
I mean, that's what I want to ask here. 312-981-7200. And, Ro, my second to last track I sent you, I just highlighted the one word just so we can all hear this here, just to be really uncomfortable. Did he do it on a dare? Was he drinking? I'm willing to hear other reasons that this word clearly came out of his mouth, right? Right, Ro?
I think that it's definitely was a dare or a bet.
Can I hear it one more time, please?
Is that penis?
And I was going to give him props for you. Nobody gives Gary Pressey any love before they sing the seventh inning stretch. You know, so I was like, oh man, he's giving Gary Pressey some love.
Don't
I think George McCaskey put him up to it.
So don't right now.
I'm going to jump on board the drinking clause right there.
You think it's drinking?
I think he had one too many, and that slipped out.
See, Mazur was walking out. He was adamant that's an East Coast thing.
That was
thing.
Not a slip.
He thinks it's an East Coast thing, and that's how they say peanuts. Like they spell peanuts with an N-I-T-S, and then it somehow it just blends into, you know, N-I-S apparently. It's crazy for me to think that the head coach of the Chicago Bears would get up there and be willing to do a dare to you know, I don't know, impress one of his friends. I'm wondering if just when he's hanging out with his dudes and they're singing the seventh inning stretch, like that's their joke. That's what they
say. That's a little in thing.
Right. That's what I think is going on.
Because it was clearly not a slip. It was clearly not him getting caught between two words.
No, I mean,
he said it pretty smoothly, though. He continued on with the song as if he had never said anything wrong to begin with.
Give me the middle part one more time. Can I hear that again, please? No, not that one. The other one.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I mean, that is broad daylight
there. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's good. Now I'm getting uncomfortable. I don't know. I'd like to hear. I just, you know, it's late night here. I feel like this is fully the time to have this conversation. 312-981-7200. I'm just looking for viable reasons as to why that came out of his mouth. I mean,
East Coast thing is a good one to go. I can't think of any viable reason aside from alcohol or thick tongue or something.
It's not alcohol.
It's I don't think it is either.
He's not slurring. He doesn't sound impaired at all.
Well, right. If you want to do an alcohol one, pull up the Brad Miller that I sent you, Ro. This was, Brad Miller, who used to play for the Chicago Bulls, he said the same thing, but this was clearly, if we want to hear intoxicated, Brad Miller singing the seventh inning stretch a while back, this was it.
Here is Brad Miller.
All right, Cubs fan, let's go. A one, a two, a three.
Whoa.
Take me out to the ballgame. Take me out to the crowd. Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks. I don't care if we ever get back.
I mean, he said it loud and clear, too. If you do this,
buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jacks.
This is like turning into, it's a thing now. This is.
But you can tell that he's hammered.
Yes.
Yeah.
But you can tell that, like, Pat and Ron were like placing bets before he started singing about how bad he was going to mess it up. Because that's what, you know, they have to interview him before they sing. And I'm sure they were smelling the Budweiser on his breath going, oh, this is going to be good.
219's texting in, I heard peanuts. There's no way you heard.
You need to clean your ears out.
I don't. How could. What?
They heard peanuts too, apparently.
I heard peanuts. I did not hear peanuts. I clearly did not hear.
No, that was clear as day.
Yeah. People complain about the seventh. See, this is why they got to get rid of the seventh inning stretch. No, this is why they need to keep the seventh inning stretch. This is why they should do the sixth inning stretch and the fifth inning stretch.
I thought I couldn't love Matt Nagy anymore.
That's the other side of it. Like if it was a dare, he elevates himself. Are you telling me the Bears fans don't love that guy more if he's going to Wrigley Field and he's just dropping the P word?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
I mean, I can't even say it on the radio, even though I'm playing it on the radio. It just feels really awkward. I mean, this was a day. You got Mai Tai guy last night getting everybody all riled up because he wouldn't give the kid a baseball, and then Matt Nagy shows up today, and I think it's just, can you play the start of it too? Because I forget who the Cubs PA guy's name is, the first one. He made a point, because everybody calls him Matt Nagy because it's N-A-G-Y, but it's Matt Nagy. N-E-H-G-Y is how it's pronounced. I mean, he really went over the top to say, here's Matt Nagy.
Bears head coach Matt Nagy.
Like, he thought of, he worked on that. I mean, that was a big deal. And then Matt Nagy comes in there and can't say the word peanuts.
We'll have to see how long it takes for them to invite him back.
Right. And so, okay, doesn't he have to address this? Like, I almost feel like he's got to call a press conference. Listen, it was not a dare. I didn't mean to do that. I know it sounds a little bit odd. Maybe I was thinking about a kicker while I was up there. I really apologize.
Yeah, but who's going to have the peanuts to ask him?
That's a good question. 847, you guys are hearing things. I think it's like that internet thing where people saw different color dresses next. Can I get it again, please? Are we really hearing things? I don't think we're hearing things. I'm 100% convinced that I'm not hearing things. But maybe we're hearing things. So people are just defending Matt Nagy. He did not say that word. He said peanuts. And he didn't get all the letters out clearly. I hear peanuts. Can I hear it again, Ro? One more time, please.
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I mean, that is not peanuts.
The is very distinct. I just want to point that out.
Yes, because the word peanuts has nuts in it. At no point did he make a nuts pronunciation.
Your minds are dirty. I'm hearing peanuts. Not everyone pronounces words perfectly. 905, you can't say pee on the radio. Why not? Never understand you Yanks. It just doesn't feel right to me. It's just a weird word to say. Isn't that a weird word to say, Ken?
It's a weird word to say at any time.
You're right.
Yeah.
Right. It's just an odd. It's just not something that really flows off the old tongue.
Yes.
I'm gonna end up on DiGilio's out of context about 10 times here. I don't know. I think this could be. I mean, you had Ozzy Osbourne doing whatever he did, and Mike Ditka getting up there.
Yeah, those are the famous ones.
But this is. I mean, this is the Bears head coach. This guy is, you know, he goes about things the right way. This is Coach Nagy. He's got the A-plus mindset, right? He's going to work as hard as he possibly can. We're going to do everything we possibly can to be as good as we can, as quick as we can, as best as we can. Mitch is going to be great, and all of it.
So if he did say it.
He did, okay.
Is there going to be backlash?
I see. I don't know.
I mean, Hochberg almost popped a vein in his head because somebody took a ball from a kid.
Well, I mean,
I'm saying, you know, the family-friendly Wrigley Field, you know, the friendly confines. How dare he say? Is there going to be some type of an uproar about this?
Let's hear it again, Roland, one more time. Will there be an uproar?
Buy me some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
I mean, there are kids in the crowd. Maryland's text again says sounded like P-E-A-N-E-T-S to me. Peanuts.
No, there was no N in there at all.
Well, no, there was an N in there.
yes, there was an N, but not where it should have been.
There wasn't an E-T-S.
Yes, correct.
Try playing it in slow motion. I don't know if Ro knows how to do that.
I kind of do.
You do? Well, you can give it a run. I'll be happy to listen to it in slow motion as we try to really break this down. I think he just mispronounced peanuts, didn't enunciate clearly. That's how I see it from the 847.
See, people, I hear it exactly. I think he enunciated it perfectly.
Yeah. See, if this was Mark Trestman, they'd want to be firing Mark Trestman. But since this is Matt Nagy. This text line is decidedly in favor that no, he
can
did
do no wrong.
What happens if it's okay if he did? I just want to know what was on the line and why he did. I mean, he had his family there.
I'm going bet. I think it's a bet. I think it's a bet with the players, or I think it's, you know, maybe they did something at minicamp where he goes, okay, if you guys do this at minicamp, I'm supposed to sing the seventh inning stretch in 3 weeks. I'll do this.
Ro, you got
something of that nature.
I think Ro's got the slow-mo.
I do.
Here comes the slow.
Some peanuts and Cracker Jack.
Indisputable.
I mean, it's indisputable.
Yeah. That's pretty open and closed case there.
There were several young boys with him. I doubt he said penis.
Mm.
we have confirmed that is what was said via our time stretch.
Via time stretch?
Via time stretch.
What's time stretch?
Just stretching out the audio so we can hear.
Oh, via, right. Can I hear it one more time with the time stretch?
Yep.
Buy me some penis and
No doubt. No doubt.
He definitely said it.
He nailed that.
That is unbelievable. Just to be that, he's definitely not drunk. And it's just, I mean, I think he just got the word wrong, honestly.
And did you catch it right away? Did you like fall out of the Lazy Boy when you heard it, when you saw it? Or is it one of those, wait a minute, and you have to kind of run the DVR back again and listen again?
So I saw it making the rounds on Twitter, so I was biased from the start. That's true. I wasn't like I was sitting there listening to the stretch live and thought, did he just say that didn't happen? But, you know, there was a ton of tweets about it, and then I'm like, this is amazing. And then a lot of those tweets got taken down, so I was lucky that I was able to get... I immediately thought, this is going to make the show tonight, right here. I'm doing 11 p.m. to 1 a.m., 12
I know exactly when I'm doing this.
12:30 to 1.
That's right.
We're talking pee.
That's right.
All right, quick timeout, and we'll come back and wrap up the show, 720 WGN. Here. Rogue, can you pull up the Trump Omar thing real fast here before I get on out of here? I just want to say, and I know that people get tired of the politics and what's going on in the country right now. But Donald, he had a rally tonight in North Carolina, and you know he is doubling down, tripling down on divide. And so here was the moment tonight.
And she looks down with contempt on the hardworking American, saying that ignorance is pervasive in many parts of this country. And obviously and importantly, Omar has a history of launching vicious anti-Semitic screeds. And she talked about the evil Israel, and it's all about the Benjamins. Not a good thing to say. So, that's Omar. That's Omar.
So that was at the rally tonight.
And by the way, many other things.
Okay, so that was at the rally tonight. The Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, congresswoman. The fact that that we have going on in this country right now, loud, passionate chanting, send her back. If that doesn't scare the living bedaylights out of you, then I really don't know what will. And I know that I'm not on here to try to change people's minds or whatever, but I'm just telling you from my own personal vantage point, seeing that in full color and hearing it to that level, it's just not what we're about. It's not what this country should be about. It's not what this country was about. It's not what it is about. And I don't believe that sentiment is representative of who we are. And I really am just hopeful that we get back to the principles that make this country the best country on the planet. I got a break again. Is that right? All right, quick timeout, and we'll wrap it up. 720 WGN.